bill, helping with rent, or just getting some groceries on the table. So you've all been very gracious in your giving for that. Really appreciate that. So on Communion Sunday, we take a benevolent offering. I'm going to go ahead and pray for that. Then we're going to go ahead and take that, and we'll continue on. God, thank you, Lord, for today. Thank you, God, for Father's Day. As Dennis said, just a remembrance of the ultimate Father that you are and that you love us so freely and lavishly. God, just take this offering, this benevolent offering today, God, and just use it to encourage people with your love and warmth. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. And amen. Well, that's going around. I have a couple of announcements for you this morning. Is that we're going to have a baptism on June 26th, which is next Sunday, 1 o'clock, down at the river. Okay, we will not have rain. Okay, it'll be sunshine. Yeah, right, Jeff, sure. We live in Seattle. But if you're interested in baptism or you want to learn more what baptism is about, just go ahead and fill out a communication card in your bulletin and just give us your contact name, your contact information, and be happy to give you some information about that. Or if you know you want to be baptized, give us your contact information and we will make sure that gets done. So if you have any questions afterwards, come see me or one of the leaders. We can tell you what baptism's all about. Our regular offering that we take each Sunday is we'll do that at the very end of the service today in the basket in the back. And again, offering here at Adventure is for those folks who call Adventure their home. So if you're a visitor or a guest today, welcome. But the offering is not for you unless you feel inclined to do so. The service today is really our gift to you. So thanks for joining us. And then after each and every service, we are firm believers in the power of prayer. God can change us, heal, change our hearts, help us through the power of prayer. So at the end of service today, these front rows here are reserved for those who would like to have some prayer. So just come up. Someone will be here to pray with you confidentially or listen to anything that you'd like to share. So it's a great opportunity to get a touch. So again, with that, good morning. It's great to have you here. How many fathers do we have here today? Yes. All right. Yes. Very good. I am one as well. I'm a father of four. My kids' age are 21. I better get this right. 21, 19, almost 17, and 15. So yes, two in college, two in high school. It's been a lot of fun, occasional challenges, and constantly humbling. But it's great. So we're going to dive in with the message this morning. I just want to pray. God, thank you, Lord, for today. Thank you for everyone here today. Open all of our hearts and our minds with what you would like to share today. God, I thank you for the worship team and what they brought today through you, God, through your power, a chance to praise and worship the Almighty God, which you are. We're grateful for that. We thank you for that. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. And I need just to do a little bit of housekeeping chore here, and we'll be ready to go so I can see things. Great. I want to start off with a story this morning. It's a true story. And it took place in 1909. William, a lumber company president, had a date with a local debutante to attend the Grand Cotillion Ball. Details are a bit sketchy, but what we do know is that there was an argument between William and his date, which resulted in the date saying, "William, I ain't going to no ball with you." He got the door slammed on his face. And all of a sudden, William found himself with a free evening on his hands. True story. The simple decision that he made next on how to spend his evening completely changed his life, and in one regard or another, changed everybody's lives who are in this room today. It changed generations. Simple decisions can have lasting impacts. I'll come back to that story in just a moment. First, I want to say again, welcome. My name is Jeff, and I'm on the leadership team here at Adventure. If you're new or if you're visiting today, a especially warm welcome. It's great to have you here. I must admit, I'm a little uncomfortable being here this morning because usually at this time of the day, I'm actually down at the bar. Now, for those who don't know me who are new or visiting, let me explain. I'm part of a great team of people that we do an outreach church in a bar service down at the bar, the Twin Dragon Sports Bar, on Sunday mornings. It's been a great thing to do, and a lot of lives have been changed, so God's been very gracious to us. So normally down the bar, usually people with beer mugs, not coffee cups. So it's a little bit different this morning, but nonetheless, it's great to be here. What I want to do is play a word association game with you. So I'm going to mention a word, and then you just shout back the word you think most closely associates with the word I'm going to give you. So there are no right or wrong answers, but, well, let me Actually, I have the right answers, but this one's I came up with. But it's okay. So I'll give you a couple of, an easy one to begin with. Peanut butter and? Okay. Bread would work, but I have jelly written, so the vast majority of you are correct. The comedy team of Abbott and? If you're over 50, you probably know that one really well. If you're going to build something, bricks and? You're getting it. If you're into theater or drama, the composers of Gilbert and? Now you're going to be over the age of at least 50 to get that one, I think. If you're going to have, you're going to drink tea, might be tea with? Well, I had honey, but crumpets works too. You'll get bonus points for that one. If you're under 30, you'll get this one. Abercrombie and?
Yes.
You all got that one. Very good. If you enjoy reading Shakespeare, Anthony and?
Cleopatra.
I have Cleopatra down, but. And if you enjoy power tools in your shop, it's Black and?
Decker.
Great. I just woke up some of the guys, so welcome. And this, this last one, we'll see how you do, the tricky one. God and? Oh, come on. God and? God and? It's one of the most mentioned things in the Bible. God and? I don't know, a little mumbling, a little murmuring. God and?
Water.
Maybe parting the water. No, I had something different. I have God and stewardship. You laugh. You think I jest? Well, you'll see why I mention that, why I think that's such a powerful word association in just a moment, okay? Going to make a case here. So we're going to talk about stewardship today, what it is, challenges associated with it. So these challenges can lead to some pitfalls and God's plan in stewardship. Stewardship is basically manage, the ability to manage something, to manage people, wealth, resources. It doesn't matter. Well, I think there are some very strong reasons why stewardship and God ought to be associated together. Let's take a look. First of all, it's the second most mentioned theme in the Bible. Managing the gifts God gave us and stewardship management, second most mentioned theme in the Bible. Secondly, it starts in Genesis and concludes in Revelation. You see the issue of stewardship throughout all 66 books of the Bible. And it is discussed more than heaven, hell, or even prayer combined. If we talked about stewardship in church as often as Jesus did, we'd be talking about this subject nearly every single Sunday in church. We are gracious here at Adventure not to bring this topic every single Sunday at church, and just occasionally for you. More than half the parables Jesus speaks of is about stewardship. More than half the parables. One of every six verses in the Gospels has to do with giving and stewardship. And tithing, which means 10%, is taught both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. So God and stewardship, those two things really go hand in hand as much as tea and honey or tea and crumpets. It really does. But, you know, there are some challenges associated with good stewardship. If you're on this earth very long, whether you're my age or a young person, managing things with a godly perspective can be really challenging. Can it not be? It has been for me. So I want to share some things today that I've just been working through myself, things that God's spoken to my heart about, and I hope just speaks to all of you in one regard or another. What we want to do is talk about some of the challenges to good stewardship, some of the pitfalls, and then God's plan in stewardship. And hopefully have a little bit of fun along the way. The first challenge is our selfish nature, right? It says in Isaiah, "For all we like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned his own way. We like to do our own thing. We like control, and we like to have it our way," just like McDonald's says, right? Can we agree at least occasionally we can be like that? I know I can, absolutely. The second issue, the second challenge, is the lack of understanding that the blessings God provides come by proper management or stewardship. Malachi 3:10 says, "Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse and see that I will open up the floodgates. Test me in this." I want to read the next few verses because I think it's incredibly powerful what it says. "Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house. Test me in this," God says, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out to you a blessing until it overflows. And then it goes on from that, talking about the things that God wants to do for you and me if we test him in the area of giving. He says, I'm going to just completely blow you away with blessings. It's the only place in the Bible that God says, test me. What I love about that as well is that the Bible is the only so-called holy book that says, that the author says, God, test me in something. God's sticking his neck out. Why? Because it's truth and you can bank on it. Literally. Great. So next thing, the next challenge I think is going to speak for itself. Have a, what else an adventure? A video clip. So we're going to have a short clip and we'll come back and talk about it. Take two. Got it back? Well, ladies and gentlemen, the Rubbermaid Corporation estimates that there are more than 100 million Rubbermaid tubs existing in over 25,000 storage facility units across the country. More than 100 million of those. Now, I'm not saying anything wrong with Rubbermaid tubs. I'm not saying anything wrong with storage facilities. There's some really good uses for them. But by and large, why we use and have so many Rubbermaid tubs is because of that. Mine. We buy a bunch of stuff. Then we have so much stuff, we need to get stuff holders to put our stuff. Then we need to rent stuff holder places to put our stuff that holds our stuff. It's mine. Now, be honest, how many of you still have unpacked boxes from your last move into your apartment or house? Thank you for your honesty. The rest of you are probably liars. How many of you are willing to admit that you still have unpacked boxes from two moves ago? Yeah, thank you, Elizabeth. One honest person in the room. Very good. You know, I coined a term for this. I call it stuff accumulatus. stuff. We like to accumulate stuff. It's just the nature of who we are. We want more stuff. And here's the definition I came up with for stuff accumulatus. We spend money we don't have, called credit, to buy things we don't need, to impress people we don't even like anyways. Stuff accumulatus. We collect things we don't really need. Now, again, there are legitimate uses for those things, but by and large, we have trouble letting go, don't we? We have trouble letting go. We want to hang on to things, and we have a million good reasons to hang on to things, but really, we don't need a number of the things that we have. Stuff accumulatus. The next one strikes, the next challenge to a proper stewardship, frankly, really strikes home to me, and it's something that happened several months ago. Back in March, my wife and I, we celebrated our 25th wedding anniversary. And yes, thank you, 25 years, she's still with me, proves there's a God, yes. So in the one thing I've always wanted to do was go on a Caribbean cruise. I wanted to do that for a long time. And I thought quite a while ago, wouldn't it be cool for my wife and I to go on a Caribbean cruise for our 25th wedding anniversary? And my wife said, hey, great, no problem. You know, we need to save our money. So a while back, we started putting money aside. And literally, you know, a few months before we were going to take this trip for our 25th, a few things started happening. How many of you have your water source is a well? You on a well? I'm on a well. Is it a good thing or a bad thing when your water starts pulsating out of your shower head in your sinks? Is that good or bad? That would be bad. Even if you don't have a well, you can probably figure that one out. It is not good. So, you know, ka-ching. There goes X, you know, $1,000 into well fixing. Like, okay, chip. And we had to use that money that we're putting aside, frankly, for our trip to take care of that. Literally a few days before I was going to hit, you know, Expedia, Send, Cruise, because we were going to figure out some way, the front end of my Honda gave out. More hundreds of dollars, many hundred dollars to fix my car. All of a sudden, the money we'd put aside to go on our cruise, we're having, what's that?
Bye-bye.
Yeah, bye-bye, exactly. And, you know, I'll be honest with you, I wish I could say I just had a great attitude about that. I didn't. I was pretty pissed, to be honest with you. I was pretty upset. And I thought to myself, you know, I deserve to go on this trip. I work hard. I serve. I do things to help people. And now I can't go on this trip. You know, I started throwing myself a pity party. Do you know how many people show up to when you throw a pity party? Zero. Yourself. Yeah, right? Just yourself. So I'm throwing myself a pity party, and I'm pretty upset. And then, you know, my wife comes and talks to me, and the Lord speaks to me through my wife on many things. This was one of them. I'll never forget, Rhonda said, you know, I think we're experiencing entitlement, a sense of entitlement. Really what was going on is my wife did not have this attitude, but she said we, to be gracious. It was me with the crappy attitude. And I'll be honest with you, entitlement. I deserve that. Why not me? Where's mine? I look at people around me who have things that I want to have. A friend of mine took an exorbitant trip around the world. Why isn't that me? I deserve that. I'm a good person. That's sin. I was sinning. That's a sin that God was holding out on me, and I was blaming God. I had to repent, and I did that about a week later. To be honest, it was really tough. And then my wife said something to me I will never forget. She says, I don't care what we do, honey, as long as I'm with you when we do it. Yes. And I thought, you know, Gold Bar is lovely this time of year. Wallace Falls, cheap trip. That was really about our budget. But you know what we ended up doing? We went to Vancouver and to Victoria and had an incredible time and had a couple of amazing adventures on our trip. We'll never forget. We did exactly what I think God wants us to do all along. I just needed to repent of my attitude of entitlement. Am I the only one that ever experiences that?
No.
You don't? Okay, good. But, you know, just God and His graciousness just worked to my heart on that, and mostly through my wife, and it's not easy. But so those are some of the challenges, at least I've experienced in my life. And those challenges, I've also found, can lead to some pitfalls or lead into some wrong kind of thinking. Let's see if you experience these with me. The first challenge or pitfall is thinking that having more will make me more happy. Having more money will make me more happy. 1 Timothy 6 says, people who want to be rich fall into all sorts of temptation and traps. The love of money causes all kinds of trouble. It doesn't say money causes all kinds of trouble, does it? It's very specific there. What is it? It's the... That's why rich people are in rehab. Psalms 49:20 says, in prosperity, people lose their good sense. I just love the Proverbs, or excuse me, the Psalms. Ecclesiastes 5:10 says, those who love money will never have enough. You see that okay up there? Can never have enough. How absurd to think that wealth brings true happiness. The more you have, the more people come to help you spend it. You get more money, it seems like more friends you have, right? I mean, that's straight from Solomon himself. What a wise man. You know, it was a number of years ago. I remember watching a TV show now, and I hate to say it, but I think it was probably Oprah, so forgive me guys for that. But anyway, it was a show. They had 12 lotto winners. And they're talking about these lotto, I mean, they've won like the mega bucks thing. And it was a show about what these 12 people were experiencing. And I'll be honest with you, 11 of those people looked like the saddest people in the world to me. And one guy had a smile on his face, was really quite happy. So they started sharing their stories. The 11 people, they experienced one of more of the following things. They either blew it all on just wasteful spending, or they discovered and had friends and relatives showing up at their doorstep, all kinds of broken relationships as a result, havoc, broken marriages because of what the love of money did to these people. It was really quite sad. And they are all, for the most part, those 11 people were pretty much penniless. The one guy, I will never forget, they asked what his story was. He said, you know what I did? I took 90% of what I won. I gave it to charity. I took 10% and put it in a nest egg for my retirement. He says, I've never felt better. He was the only one who was really in a good place. So, the love of money isn't the answer. Being rich and famous isn't the answer either. Look what Jim Carrey said, the comedian actor. He said, I think everybody should get rich and famous and do everything they ever dreamed of so they could see it is not the answer. He's got wealth, he's got fame, he's got talent. What does he need? He obviously has experienced something, hasn't he? The realization that wealth and fame is not the answer. The second pitfall that we can fall into is thinking that having more will make me be more important. Luke 12 says, don't always be wishing for what you don't have, for real life and real living are not related to how rich we are. This last week I was reading the story of Bud Paxson. How many of you are familiar with the Home Shopping Network? Home Shopping Network, worldwide phenomena. He is the founder of that and the owner of that. He's got gazillions of dollars, right? World success, Home Shopping Network, right? He shares a story years back where at the top, the top of his success, two things were going on. One, his business was very successful. The other thing is he realized all of his success and all of his business dealings were kind of keeping him from his family. And he wasn't having really good communication with his family in the last months or so, and especially with his wife. So what he wanted to do, Christmas was coming up, he thought, I know what I'll do. He had tons of money. He says, I'm going to take my entire family and my kids' spouses, we're all going to go over on Christmas, we're going to go to Las Vegas. And we're going to have a great time. So what they do, he rented a penthouse in Vegas there on Christmas. And what he also decided to do is he bought gifts. Now, he didn't just buy a few gifts for everybody. In a penthouse, he said, he bought gifts from literally floor to ceiling. And it took 20-some people 4.5 hours to open all the gifts. Christmas Day. That afternoon, Christmas Day, Bud's wife said, Bud, I need to talk to you. Fine. Go out on the patio, and she says, I need to let you know, I've packed my bags and I'm leaving you. I'm done. And she held true to her word. She left him. And he talks about the fact that money, wealth, fame, it completely distracted him from what's really important in life, and it's relationship. Now, the situation was redeemed because months later, He gave his heart to Christ. Found Jesus Christ. And now do you know what he's doing with his wealth? And his talent and his communication abilities? He's spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world through television and radio. It's like the Jesus network now. Seriously. So he took a horrible situation. God completely redeemed it. But he talks about wealth and fame are not the answer. He got sidetracked. Real life, real situation doesn't equate to real wealth. The third pitfall for this type of thinking, is thinking that having more will make me more secure. Proverbs 23:5, your money can be gone in a flash, as if it had grown wings and flown away like an eagle. Now, our founding fathers, not only were they really smart, wrote the Constitution, but a lot of them were pastors. Did you know that? They were Christ followers. And I think they read this when they created money, because I have a dollar bill on me. What's on the front of it? It's a dead president, right? Every paper has a dead president on it, right? But do you know what's on the back, on the left? It's an eagle. It is a bird. I think Cigna flying this. I really do. I think these guys read Proverbs 23:5 and said, ha ha ha, let's put a bird on the back of it to remind all of us that money and wealth is fleeting, like it had grown wings and flown away. You'll never look at a dollar bill the same again. And if you have teenagers, you know how quickly money can fly away. It's like, poof! The next thing I want to talk about, I want to put a different perspective on it, and I think a lot of us from time to time either hear or aspire to is this. That's not it. It is financial independence. How many of us hear the fact that, we've either said it ourselves or we've heard other people say, in America, we want to be financially independent. How many have heard that or that makes sense to you, right? Financial independence. Well, I think what we've seen in Scripture actually clearly indicates the more you have, I think the more dependent you become. So I don't think wealth brings independence at all. I want to submit that it actually brings dependence. Let me prove it to you. Do you know what? I don't have to worry about barnacles growing on my yacht. Why is that? I don't have a yacht. I don't have to worry about my Maserati getting scratches on it. Why is that? I drive a 15-year-old Honda that has 165,000 miles on it, but has a new front end. I don't have to worry about my winter condo in Tahiti burning down or getting robbed. Why is that? I can barely afford to go to Gold Bar. I think financial independence, financial can create dependence if you're not really careful. I've talked to several friends of mine, or I know several people who are really wealthy. They talk about sometimes managing the stress of what they produce or what they have. It can be very difficult. So those are some of the challenges, some of the pitfalls we can fall into. How about some good news now, right? How about some really good news? At least for me. So what is the antidote to this and be successful in stewardship? Well, what I want to introduce you today are four heavenly investment strategies brought to you by the investment team of God and Son. Investment strategies for over 2,000 years. They make money the old-fashioned way. They own it already anyway. Four investment fund strategies by God and Son. The first one I want to talk about this morning, the first investment fund is the treasure fund. The treasure fund, which is an expression of our worship. Giving as an expression of our worship. What does Scripture say? For where your treasure is, your heart will be also. Whatever you're thinking about, that is where your heart's going to be. Honor the Lord by giving Him the first part of all your income. I remember when I was a little kid, the church we went to, the land that was it built on was donated by a woman. I just remember when I was really little, this woman, she was really old, very frail, and occasionally she would show up to church. And I remember standing as a little kid with my parents and a group of people talking with her, and she says, and remember, she's the one who donated the land for where our church was built. And she says, well, and someone said, well, I don't remember her name, you know, what brought you to church today? It's great to see you. She says, well, you know what? I really like to keep an eye on my investments. That's where kingdom building was, where her treasure was. I will never forget that. So the treasure fund, an expression of our worship. Part B on this one would be the treasure fund, expression of our worship in tithing. And I'm talking about tithing here in a bit, and people I'm addressing in that group are people who call Adventure home. So for those of you who are visiting or just checking out the things of Christ and Adventure, you can take a short nap for a few moments. But this is what we want to talk about. So the purpose of tithing is... That's interesting. The purpose of tithing is to teach you or teach me to put God first in our lives. It's not, the purpose of tithing is to God robbing me of 10% or more. The purpose of tithing is not, you know, God's holding out on me. The purpose of tithing is not, you know, God's making it difficult for me to pay our bills. The purpose is to teach us, according to Deuteronomy 14:23, to help us teach us to have God in our lives first. Where our treasure is, our heart will be also. And I've already mentioned that bring the whole tithe into the storehouse and see that I'll not open up the passage. Test me in this. So tithe is 10%. God says, bring it first and I will bless you. In the New Testament, just to show that tithing is talked about in the Old Testament as well as the New, the words of Jesus, Matthew 23:23, says, you should tithe. Those are the words of Jesus. So let me ask you a question. Do you and I have an attitude of worship when you give? So coming in this morning, a lot of us sometimes arrive a few minutes late to church. We're hearing the music play, right? Worship is starting. I don't know about you, when I hear that, you know, when Karina and Dennis are starting this morning and the guys and doing worship, you know, my heart just takes a step out. And I'm like, I just want to get in there and praise and honor God, whether sitting in a chair quietly or standing up with your hands raised. We have an expectancy about entering into worship with God, and at least when I worship God, thank you for what you're doing. Thank you. Just you are awesome. You're amazing. Please let this be a fragrant offering to you. The songs that we're singing, the worship we're doing, God, just have it all point to you. God, I thank you for who you are. How many of us do that with our giving, with our financial giving here at Adventure? How many of us, when it's time, and it will be later on, we put the offering in that basket back there, it's worth an attitude. Thank you, God. I give it to you back just a portion. You own it all anyway. You only want a little bit back, 10%? Thank you, God, for the opportunity to give. Thank you for the blessings that I can give back to you abundantly and with an expectancy that you want to bless me. God, thank you. I honor you and love you and worship in my tithing. I've struggled with that. A lot of times it's with, I know what I'm supposed to do, I'm going to do it, so simply as an act of obedience. Not of faith, and not as an act of worship. Because that's what Scripture says. Whatever we do, including giving, needs to be an act of our worship, no different than when Dennis is leading us in songs, and we're totally enraptured in the worship. That is the same attitude we should have when we're going back to put an offering in that basket. I don't know if that convicts you, but it certainly convicts me. A cornerstone principle of the investment team of God and Son is for you to tithe and me. God and Son blesses you richly. You give back more. And God and Son continues to bless you richly. And on it goes. For kingdom building, and because God loves you and wants to bless you, lather, rinse, repeat. The second investment fund is the mutual fund of fellowship. Love one another with a mutual affection. Mutual affection. Community. Share with what you have with God's people who are in need. And show hospitality. That's called benevolent in one category. We already did that, right? We took a benevolent offering. We just fulfilled Romans 12:13. Cool. We all did something biblical today. Isn't that wonderful? Yes. Let us not be concerned for one another, but to help another, show love and do good. And I could go honestly on and on and on about a number of you and what you're doing to serve and to connect and to help others. It's awesome. It is. I love this quote. You can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. Giving is the essence of love. You know why that's true? Because that is the heart of God. John 3:16. For God so loved that He gave. For God loved, therefore created the action of giving. And what did He give? The most amazing sacrifice in the history of the universe. His Son, Jesus Christ. You can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. Giving is the essence of love. How is our loving lately through our giving? How is it? The third investment fund is the personal growth fund. This is for growing us up. God wants to teach us through our giving. He does. I wrote this down, and I really like it. I wrote, God is not as concerned with our comfort or convenience, though He is, but He's not as concerned with our comfort or convenience as He is with the development of our character. He wants us to be comfortable and convenient, but not at the expense of character development. And it comes through our giving. The earnings of the godly enhance their lives, but evil people squander their money on sin. The other thing I want to share today is that, a number of years ago, my wife and I, mostly at my leading, made a really bad investment into a company. And, you know, if it wasn't called a get-rich-quick scheme, it was awfully close. And it's humbly shared. We made a really bad mistake because, again, we wanted to get something back soon. And you know what? It ended up being a disaster. And it took us years to kind of get out of that, to be honest with you. And so squandering for the wrong reasons can lead to lots of problems. That's my interpretation of Proverbs 10:16. So far we have the treasure fund, the mutual fund, the personal growth fund, and finally, the global outreach fund. The global outreach fund. Now we use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves, so that when it is gone, you'll be welcome into eternal dwellings. Luke 16:6. I think there's a lot of confusion about that verse. What that really is saying is that what God wants us to do is to use the wealth that He's enabled us to have and to put it towards kingdom building and reaching those for Jesus Christ. So when we are all in heaven, we can have incredible community thanking and being thanked for reaching people for the good news of Jesus because of the wealth God allowed us to create to go out and use those resources to reach people for Jesus Christ. That is what that verse is talking about. God wants us to reach people with His good news, to use the resources He's entrusted to us to go out and proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. That's another reason why we give here at this church. We're going to reach people for Christ and have a global outreach. Philippines missions. We have another missions coming up soon up to Skagit Valley with the youth. Great investment opportunity, right? We've gone to Albania on more than one occasion. We've been to Nicaragua. We've been all over the world. It's a global outreach fund that comes through us contributing because of the resources that God has given us to equip the saints to doing the good works of the ministry. And that is reaching people with the good news of Jesus Christ, what I've termed the global outreach fund. You will honor God through genuine acts of service because of your commitment to spread the good news of Jesus Christ because of your generosity and sharing. I like that verse so much, I'm going to repeat it. You will honor God through genuine acts of service because of your commitment to spread the good news of Jesus Christ and because of your generosity and sharing. I bet a number of you are familiar with this next quote. We make a living by what we get, but we make a life by what we give. I started this morning off with a story about William. I'm going to go back and add a few details which are important and finish that story and why I think it's so germane to what we're talking about today. So here it goes. This is a true story. This incident took place in 1909. The place? Seattle, Washington. William, a lumber company president, had a date with a local debutante, which means socialite, to attend the Seattle Grand Cotillion Ball. Huge event back in 1909. Probably any event was important in 1909. Details are a bit sketchy, but what we do know is that there was an argument between his date and William, which resulted in his date canceling on William for that evening's outing to the Grand Cotillion Ball in Seattle, Washington. All of a sudden, William found himself with a free evening on his hands. The next simple decision he made on how to spend his evening completely changed his life, changed the lives of generations, and to one degree or another, changed the life of everyone in this room today. Since he had a free evening now, William decided to attend an expo he had heard about that was in town. The expo really piqued his interest. The expo was about a newfangled invention called the flying machine. It was the advent of the airplane. And as Paul Harvey might say, now you know the rest of the story. William's last name, Boeing. Boeing. So there's two morals to this story. Girls, break up with your date. He might do something amazing. Or, and there he is, or simple steps can have lasting impacts. Simple steps can have lasting impacts. What I want to wrap up and say to you is, what simple steps do you and I need to make today with regards to the area of stewardship? What do we need to do? In terms of speaking just to the adventure family, I would a couple of things. A couple of categories. For those of you who are tithing, which means 10% or beyond 10%, I want to say thank you, God bless you, and I say with an expectancy that you're experiencing lots of blessings because of what of honoring God and obeying Him in that regard, so thank you. But I will challenge you, how is your heart in giving lately? Is it done with simple obedience, or is it done with a heart of worship? God, thank you for the opportunity to give back. Do a little heart check on that. And if you're not sure about that, I have a remedy. The remedy is increase your giving. Increase your giving. Now, I'm talking about tithing. A couple of things I want to share with you before I go any further. This is I am Jeff. I am one of you. I am not on payroll at Adventure. I don't get paid for anything here. I don't get paid for Church in the Bar. I'm one of you. I have nothing to benefit from this other than what God wants to do in all of your hearts. So I really want to make that clear. So those of you who are tithing, thank you. That's a challenge to you. For those of you who call Adventure home and are something other than 10%, God says tithe. You know, Randy feels strongly about what I'm about to say, is that, you know what? God's very gracious. Take, if you're at, say, 4%, which is the vast majority of us at Adventure, at about 4 or 5%, over the next few months, start ratcheting that up by a couple of percent per month. And so in the next 4 to 5 months, you're at 10%. I challenge you. I double dog dare you on that one to start experiencing more blessings. Those blessings, I'm not sure what they look like. It might experience harmony in your marriage. It might be that your dishwasher doesn't break down or that God's blessing you financially. I don't know, but God's promise is that He will bless you. So if you're not there at 10% in that category, as an act of worship and obedience, start upping it as an act of faith. You'll see what happens. Trust me. For those of you who call Adventure Home, have not yet begun tithing at all, anything or any percent, I want to challenge you to do that. Start with just 2 or 3%. God's graciousness really allows that, we believe, here at Adventure. So start doing something and then increase it over time. Increase it over time. So in the next 6 to 8 months, your budget is adjusted. You could be tithing at 10%. Please know here that additional giving does not result in Randy driving your Mercedes. Okay, his salary is fixed. This is about between you and God and not anyone else getting more salary, more money here at Adventure. This is for opening the floodgates in your life. This is about you, and this is about me. For those of you who are just checking out the claims of Christ, I think there's an opportunity here I'm going to come back to in just a moment. But I'm not just talking to adults here today. I'm talking to young adults and youth. I was talking to my wife about this. It is critical that you begin tithing as a habit as a young person. Junior high, high school is not too young to be doing that. God says the tithe, He doesn't make it only if you're over the age of 20. That's not it at all. I wish I would have had the habit at a younger age, and frankly, I wouldn't have struggled with it through a lot of my life. God is speaking to youth just as much as he's speaking to us older folks. Okay, so that goes to youth. For those of you who don't, who are not right now in a Christ relationship, checking out the claims of Christ, not sure where you are with God, but you're peaked, the most incredible, simple step is the one that you could make today by saying, Jesus, come into my life. I want to make that step of faith by entering a relationship with you, God, through your Son, Jesus Christ. Of all the steps we talked about today, that's the most simple and the most profound. Let's pray. God, thank you for today. God, thank you for your love. God, thank you for the fact that you own it all. You just ask for a portion back, God, to help us grow, to help us remember, God, that you own it all and that we love you. God, help me to be more worshipful in my giving. God, help those of us here today who are struggling with this concept, God, that you just help them open up their hearts and their minds, God, to be obedient and to do it as an act of worship too. God, grow our faith. Grow my faith, God. I just thank you for what you've done and how you've blessed my wife and I for following the promises such as tithing, God, and what we've experienced. I'm grateful to that. Lord, for those folks here today who are not in a relationship with you, God, and God, who have not accepted your Son Jesus into their heart, I just want to give this opportunity to say a simple prayer that those who may be in that situation can say quietly under their breath. God, I know I've fallen short. I admit my sins to you. God, I pray that your Son Jesus Christ would come into my life, clean me of all the things I've done. I turn my life over to you, and ask that your Son Jesus would come into my heart now and begin a love relationship with you, God, through your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we love you. We thank you. Appreciate so much everything you're doing here at Adventure. You continue to use this vessel and its people for doing mighty things of the kingdom. We're grateful to you and all the gifts that you give us and for the time this morning. God, thank you for all the dads here, God. Just bless them today throughout the week. Remind them how much you love these amazing sons that are these dads. We love you and thank you for this day. In your Son's name we pray. Amen and amen. In conclusion, if you made that decision for Christ this coming up, I'd love to talk with you. We do that confidentially. Can share some things with you. I'd love to connect with you about a decision you made today. If you have prayer requests or have prayer needs, come in the first row or two. Again, confidentially, someone will come and pray with you. And as a last remembrance, tithing and giving is in the back basket as a form of worship. We'll do that as we conclude. Have a great Father's Day. Enjoy brunch or whatever you have planned. Thanks for coming this morning. We'll see you next Sunday.